Welcome to Moment of Hope with Pastor, Teacher Bishop Adejenfi, a seasoned man of God who is poised with a divine mandate to set people free from all forms of religious bondages and manipulations through teaching and to help them develop a mindset that enables them to enjoy their liberty in Christ. Join us as we prepare to open God's Word and discover how your life can be changed forever.
Also here to minister unto you, to meet your need, and also establish you on the word of God. As we've been doing always, and the topic that we are treating, I want us to keep focusing on that, trusting that God through the word will bring us to where He wants us to be. All along we've been dealing with renewing the mind, transforming the body, breaking every stronghold in the minds, and we've come to a point where we need to also see in the spirit to activate the supernatural. Because what you see is what you receive. And as you begin to see from God's perspective, your faith is lifted up to receive from God. And therefore, I encourage all of you to believe the Lord and also set yourself up to receive from the Spirit as you activate the great things in the Spirit. You see? Very, very, very important. If you don't know how to see in the spirit, you will not be able to receive from God. If all you see is negative, and also you think that somebody was going to see something for you, which is good sometimes, but it does not always work like that. Praise the Lord. And when the Lord opens your mind, eyes to see from His word what He has for you, that gives you the boldness, the confidence, and the faith to be able to trust God and receive from Him. And that's it. Last week we saw Gehazi, who was so fearful because he first saw the enemies coming. And Elisha, who had seen what God had for him, was very bold and he was in haste because he knew the forces that were behind him. And therefore he prayed that God will also open the eyes of Gehazi to also see as he was seeing. And when God opened his eye, he saw innumerable companies of angels surrounding them with horses of chariots of fire and horses. And therefore his boldness came, his confidence came, and he was able to stand. That is what we are dealing with. And that was Old Testament today. And we saw that this man, the man of God prayed for him. He served the man of God. He betrayed and broke or delivered him from fear. And after everything, the Lord ushered him into the realm of supernatural. Hallelujah. Today we want to move into another person in the New Testament. And the exciting thing about this man is he, because of his devotion to God, was able to see in the Spirit, even before he became a Christian anyway. And so that gives you the faith, the confidence, and the assurance that, hey, you also qualify to see what God sees. And if nothing at all, you begin to see from the Bible what God has written about you and what you see about yourself. Today we deal with Cornelius. He saw the unseen realm. And turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 10, reading from verse 1 following, or maybe 1 to 8. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his household, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. You see, this verse is loaded with a host of keys that unlock the supernatural on behalf of this man. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before me. And now send a man to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spoke unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. You see, this man, as I said, he wasn't even a Christian, but he was somebody whose heart was for God. And you see, the book of Acts was a time of transition. That was when the Christian faith was being established. The church was moving on. The church was empowered and spreading among the people. And so people who believe in the Old Testament practice, who had genuine and sincere heart, genuinely seeking for God, these people, the Lord also gradually gave them the opportunity to meet the apostles, the people of God, so that they will be able to get exposed to what God has and be able to serve God in a more decent and excellent way. And so something like that is happening here. It was a time of transition. And in a time of transition, he positioned himself well. And so the difference is we have come into the full blown of the church and we are Christians. So we are not living in the transitional time. And so we are far ahead of Cornelius. We have a lot of advantage. We know Christ. We know what the Bible says about us. And we know what God is doing. And we also know what the devil is doing. And so we are in a period where you and I will have to decide as to who we should lean to or what we should accept, because we are exposed to both supernaturals, the negative and the positive. Just that the negative is so, it brings a lot of fear and also move into the future personally about in our individual's life. And therefore, sometimes, because of the uncertainty of what lies ahead in the spirit, we begin to be tend to open up to the negative, trying to know the evil that is coming upon us, and so that somehow we think that we will be able to prevent it. As people normally say that you should go and see your destiny. As if we, after seeing it, we will be able to do something about it. You see, supernatural things are not like going to see a doctor when you have some pains and others for the doctor to check you. It's a doctor will check you and give you the reality physically, and so that spiritually you decide as to whether you want to go for raw faith, if that's what you believe, or you want to combine your faith with the medical treatment. Both of them work. Ora Robert said that God works in healing. He was one of the powerful divine healers ever lived. And he said that God works supernaturally, but God works best when you combine the medical with the supernatural, because God gave men the wisdom. So it is also part of God's work. And he has also given man the supernatural power. So if you bring both together, you get the fullness of God. Anyway, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the spiritual. So I was trying to use the physical to bring to your mind or bring to your understanding what the spiritual realms are. So in the spiritual realm too, people are very susceptible. They incline or lean towards going to see the negative as if they will be able to do something about it themselves. At the end of the day, they want to go and look for some people who will be able to, quote and unquote, turn their destiny for them. That is not the best way. If you really want to know what God is doing, I believe that if God opens your eye to the positive, it builds your faith and you are able to trust God. Because at the end of the day, the most important thing is we all look up to God. And we look up to the finished work of Christ. What Jesus Christ accomplished on the tree, on the cross for us. That is what we look up to. Hello? You see? And so if you miss it, that you don't really get to know what Jesus had accomplished for you, you miss it. You can get it. Right, so this is the man, Cornelius. Number one, he was a devout man. That was the first thing that led him into the first key he used to unlock the supernatural. He was a devout man. A devout man. He was a devout man. Venerated God and treated him with reverential obedience. That's the amplified version. As did all his household. And he gave much alms to the people and prayed continually. That's verse 2. Let me move on again. Let me read another translation. A devout man who feared God with all his household and gave alms generously to the people and prayed continuously. Hallelujah. Another translation. He was a devout man, God-fearing man. As was everyone in his household, he gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. Another translation. A devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. And so the first key that opened him up to the supernatural was, and it still is with you and me, devout man. What's the meaning of devote or devotion? It is somebody who is deeply devoted to his or her religious practices or belief. A course or a way of life. That is, he was committed or enthusiastic man in serving God. So he served the Lord with commitment or enthusiastically. You see, some people serve the Lord all right, but they don't do it with commitment. They don't do it enthusiastically. He conducted his Christian duties with commitment or enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. Enthuse. That's the Greek is entheo. That is in God. And so when people are so grounded in God, they are so committed. They have their strength, their joy, and everything in God. Many people don't see this. Their joy is not in God. They have other things that really give them the satisfaction, the so-called satisfaction. But the truth is, fulfillment in life is not received from any other area but in God. And therefore, if you don't see it as such, that whatever I have, everything in me is in God, and therefore I devote my life, my thoughts, and everything in God. If you don't see it as such, you are not able to touch the heart of God. And so people spend so many time, I mean, much of their time on other things. But when it comes to the things of God, they drag their feet. They do it apathetically. That's the opposite of enthusiasm. Apathy. That's why I like those who even, you know, with all the COVID restrictions, they can bring their children to church. They open the car windows, put them in, and ask some people to take care of them, look at them, so that they will come here and listen to the message, maybe 1 hour, and rush to go and take care of their children and go home. So you can see that these people are completely consumed with God. They know that, look, they cannot stay 1 week without coming to the house of God. Hello? That's the enthusiasm I'm talking about. I can't imagine that for almost 9 months. Some people can tell me that they are enthused, and yet they won't go to church. Yeah, you pray at home, that's fine. For 9 good months, you wouldn't go to church. And you tell me you are still a church member. Absolutely unthinkable. As far as I'm concerned, you are not. Hello? Unless those old age people who, for some reason, cannot make it, fine. But you move from committed member to uncommitted member. That's how I see you. And therefore, I am not so much committed to you, the church too. It's not possible that you can stay home, young lady, young guy, stay home and always just that log into the Facebook as if you are listening to the preaching, but you just log in there, you get your name registered over there, then you go and do what you want. So 10 minutes time, you come and watch a little bit and you pass a comment. Then you go back. Look, I just want to hit home today. You are not serving God with devotion. Cornelius was a devoted man. He was enthused. So committed to the things of God. He did everything with devotion. He devoted his time, his talent, and everything in serving the Lord. Hello? You see? When restrictions are on, that's the time you see people going to parties. I don't want to talk about funeral, because recently my wife also went to her funeral, so I don't want to be in contention or trouble with him, with her. And after that, I mean, her health and others has been in, on the edge, you know. Funeral. But when it comes to the things of God, I'm not saying you don't have to go to funeral. It's good. But when it comes to the things of God, you must do it with devotion. He was a devout man. Hello? How devoted are you to God? I'm not talking about just church. How devoted are you? A devout man, the one that feared God with all his household. Praise the Lord. There was this man, Simon, one example of a devoted man in the book of, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Let me read from verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed. Devoted people always see the Spirit. Hello? You see, that's why if you go to the Eastern Courts, they have their devotees. And these devotees are always in their temple, committed to their things. Devotees. The monks among the Catholics. Devotees. And others call them gurus. They are spiritual gurus. And these gurus, they are always by their altar and they are serving their idol. And the devil opened their eyes to see things. Some people, even Christians, you see them dodging to go and see some of these gurus. When you have access to unlock the supernatural and know the mind of God, but because of lack of devotion to the things of God, we don't do that. We have no time for God. That's why we can hear from God, we can see from God's perspective, and we don't understand the mind of God concerning our lives and the purpose of God for us. Because we lack devotion. Amen. What did I say? We lack devotion to the things of God. Today, I encourage you that your commitment to the things of God and your attitude to the things of God, your approach to the things of God should always be marked by one single word, devotion. And so that you would also be described as a devoted Christian, not apathetic. That you do things with apathy, as if somebody is holding the back of your neck and pushing your nose into it. But when it comes to politics, come and see. This is a good example. I shouldn't even have used the funeral. Politics. Four more for Nana. Four more for Joe. More. Mahama. Fa. These are the two political parties that are reigning in Ghana. Look at people. You look, you see them on the TV, on the Facebook, and people are so devoted. And they walk. They go for the match. I'm not saying you don't have the right to express your joy, but let me tell you, if your devotion to these things are higher than your devotion to God, it tells you the one you believe and where your heart is. Amen. Sometimes I can preach hard, isn't it? But this one is soft. This one is soft. I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to teach you. Trying to bring to mind. You see, let me check the time. I'm sorry. Another one is Anna. The same passage, the Luke 2. There was a lady called Anna. Over 80 years, like Uma. Always in the house of God after the death of her husband, always waiting, and God revealed to her that the Messiah had come. Let me tell you, people who serve God with devotion, God opened up their spirit and they begin to understand spiritual things. Hallelujah. And those who don't serve God with devotion, they don't understand the spiritual dimension. You must set your heart to consistently do the things of God so that the Master will bless you. Amen. Number one, he was a devoted man. Number two, the one that feared God with all his household. The fear God means he was serving God with reverence. Reverential fear. He had his heart for the things of God. He recognizes the presence of God. And he cherishes the presence of God. That he doesn't want to lose God's presence. So in whatever he do, he respects God. It's not fear like in phobia. It is fear of reverence. I respect God. I don't want to hurt God. I don't want to do anything that wouldn't please God. That's the fear I'm talking about. People like that, they have the heart of God because they are the heartbeats of God. They respect him. So if there's anything at all, they fear God. You see, when the Americans were going to the poll, in my heart of heart, though I don't stand here to prophesy, in my heart of heart, I that is, maybe I'm prejudiced. I was for Biden because of some characteristics of our own brothers, the Republicans, the Christians. If you live in America, you see, I mean, these people, but that's not my message. But when some pastors and others prophesied for Trump, I say, okay, then let me shut up my mouth because I'm not better than them. So if all of them are seeing Trump, and if he doesn't win, it's not good for Christendom. Therefore, though my heart is not for him, I will not openly support him. I will shut my mouth. So anytime I meet some of the pastors, in my heart, I like Biden, but for the sake of other pastors and for the sake of the Christendom, I shut my mouth. You see? Why? Because I fear God. I didn't want to do anything that wouldn't please God. And I didn't know the mind of God concerning the election, and therefore where Christians were standing, I decided to just shut my mouth. I won't criticize them because I'm not better than them. A lot of them, spiritually, they are high. You see, that's how it is. Sometimes when you fear God, certain things, if you don't understand, you shut your mouth. You don't want to go into it. Amen. And this guy feared God with all his household. I'm not doing politics. I just said it. That's my personal predicament, what I found myself in. And so yesterday when some of the networks started declaring, I was so happy. I said, well. This one, I didn't do it. You see, the people have spoken, and American politics, it is what God allows that happens. And therefore, hey, Osama Martin, are you there? You see, for this one, I beat you. He was solely for Trump, you see. Then Mr. Trumpology. And Osofo Abedi, Biden, Bishop Abedi. Chief, I didn't know. He never uttered a word. It was in your mind. Trump, oh, okay. As for me, Trump in heart, shut up before people. Hey, burden in heart. Because of some experience I had in America, that one is prejudice because of my personal experience with so-called Christians. Anyway, that's not my message. The one that feared God with all his household, he commanded his house to serve the Lord. Amen. Number three, he gave generously to the people. Amen. Generously to the kingdom, to the people. You see, there are types of giving. Number one, the regular tithe and offering, do it with devotion, consistently. Number two, special giving, like the Thanksgiving service we are going to have at the end of the month. Do it from your heart. Number three, giving in support of the poor and vulnerable. You see, last week, those of you came to the Sunday school, I heard most of you left here laughing because at least you were having 50 Ghana in your hands. Is that not so? Somebody did it. Hello? And the groups, about a month or 2 months ago, all of you, thousand. Is that not so? Somebody did it. I'm praying that this culture will be established in the church. Hallelujah. Of course, ICC, I'm so grateful, and I can't complain, because, I mean, you've stood with the vision, and sometimes it baffles me. Consistently giving in support of the things of God. Cornelius was giving generously. Hallelujah. Like another centurion in Luke chapter 7. He also, when the Jewish people went to Jesus, they said, look, this man deserves it because he loved our nation and he has built us a synagogue. And Jesus said, I will go and heal the servant. And the man said, you don't need to come to my house. Just speak a word. He says, I've never seen a faith like this before, even among the Jewish people. Hallelujah. So that's how it is. Generous giving regularly and continuously. To support the kingdom, to support the weak, the vulnerable. And when God lays it upon your heart, you release it. That is the only way God can bless you financially. You determine what you receive by how you release. If you hold on to, you keep the laurel in your hands. If you open it up, you receive in abundance. So open your hand like this. Open it up and receive it back. Okay, hold it. Make a fist. And squeeze it hard. How much do you get? Anytime you do that, let it remind you of the preaching. Hallelujah. He gave generously. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, the fourth one, he prayed continuously. All these four, three things, he did it with devotion. And the Bible says, effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man make tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. That's how we release power. Prayed continuously, always praying, establishing a heart of prayer. Wherever you are, you keep praying, you keep releasing. And God begin to release power on your behalf. Supernatural. Prayer will connect you into the supernatural. Do it with devotion. Hallelujah. Prayer. And just at the tail end, he said, and the Lord revealed to him. You see, when he did all these things, devotion, the Lord did what? Revealed to him. Angels. He didn't see demons. And the angels spoke to him and gave him direction. Akwanchre. And the angel didn't say, go and take some pepper and others. And go for some bottles, crack them, and throw it at your enemies. He said, go and see Peter. He'll tell you what to do. And when Peter came, he said, you need the Holy Ghost. That's all. That's the angels. That's the direction. You need the Holy Ghost. That will direct you. And he believed in his household. God will open your eye and give you the direction you need. I'm not saying directions that God gives are bad, no. But when people are always trying to conjure some queer and demonic directions, you must be wary of that. It's not good. Directions that will bring division. Directions that will set you at loggerheads with your family members. Directions that will really bring your business down. Directions that will really bring friction between you and other people. You should be wary of that. You don't have to bother yourself so much with it. You see, you need direction that conforms to the biblical principles and the ethics of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Who told you human beings are your enemies? Praise the Lord. You see, here in Africa, we have mixed the idolatry with Christianity. And that is what appeals to people. It appeals a lot. It sits home with people. Sometimes, if you're a pastor, there's a temptation that you do. One of our pastor, Augustine, asked after praying for one of the woman said, "What else? Any direction for me?" And he said, "No." So, why didn't you give her the direction? Tell her that every week fast 3 times, and when you finish the fasting, you pray. And after prayer, Sunday, come and greet me. That's a good direction. And so from today, I'm going to give some directions. The first direction, every Sunday, be here 6 o'clock and be praying. And every Wednesday, when the doors are open, be here. And the Friday, you are praying. Good enough direction. Hallelujah! This one, people don't want it, but it works. Hallelujah. I want to finish. The last one, that one is not a point. It's the after effect of doing this. When the angels, so I've given you 4 points, and the effect, one is revelation, that God opened his eye to see in the spirit, and in the spirit he saw the positive, God's direction. And so I'm not saying you will always see a vision, but there's no vision greater than seeing the revelation of the Bible. That God will open your eye to see what the Bible says. And it will give you direction. Number 2. The angel said, your prayer and your almsgiving has become a memorial. Memorial. You can use the word statue or a monument. Something that is built to remember or to speak to generations. So if you want to establish a generational blessing, memorial, she, aye, enkaidu. You see, something that people can look up to and remember you. He said, continuous prayer and the almsgiving have become a memorial. Mary did similar thing when she poured the perfume on Jesus. Jesus said, look, leave her alone. She has done what is right. She has prepared my body to be buried. And the thing that she has done, it will be said everywhere the gospel will be preached. That's a memorial. The people will refer to it. That's what David did. And God will always say, because of David, when even his children were fooling. That's why sometimes some people may be fooling and the blessings of God will still be coming on them. And who am I to go and question God? I must shut up. I don't know the kind of sacrifices the great, 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 great grandfathers and others have made that is bringing them to that position. You better shut up. Hallelujah. And allow God to do his work. That's why sometimes these Americans and others, the way they do their things, if you don't take care, you are going to talk and destroy your heart. Keep quiet and leave them alone. It is God. You don't know the sacrifices some people have made. Every sacrifice you made, you make every prayer, every commitment, everything that you do, they are building memorial. Every investment in the church is a memorial, and as you consistently do it, the Lord will open your heavens. You will enjoy it. Your children are coming, and they will rise up and bless you that my father, my mother, my great-grandmother and others, they did this, and because of that, I am here today. I don't sweat, and still, God is blessing me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so he followed the direction, and today we mention the name of Cornelius. Shall we stand to our feet? Amen. Amen. Shira ne.
Oh,
you don't know how to sing it.
Ni nyam sa ni ya.
Oh, it's a cheese song.
Ni ni.
Into the supernatural realm for you to see his mind and for you to follow his direction so that you will never fall into the trap of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Now open your mouth and begin to pray right now. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Tell God, open my eyes. Father, give me that devotion so that I do everything with devotion. I devote my life, my heart, and everything. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Voice of Hope. Make a date with Bishop Edu Jemfi, same time every week. For prayer and counseling, kindly call these numbers: 020-836-3457, 024-466-1123. You can worship with us this and every Sunday at the Charismatic Cathedral, Obu Obigono Street, New Fadama, Accra, ICC. Come with us, and we shall do you good.